Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you're having a good day, and I'm not trying to rub it in at all, but I am on the beach, like almost literally. I am here at some that have a rental house, some good friends of ours, and they were kind enough to invite us out, even though they have, check this out, they have 12 kids of their own. Now, not all 12 of them are here, but 11 of them are here, and then they invited us to come join them for a couple of days. So I'm at Pine Knoll Shores, which is on the North Carolina coast near Atlantic Beach. I'm literally sitting on a deck. If you want to join us on Facebook and see what that looks like, I'm literally sitting on a deck that's overlooking the beach. So if you hear some rolling waves in the background, anything like that, I'm not trying to rub it in. I just wanted to, you know, obviously continue to do the show today because I'm traveling a lot in the next couple of weeks, so I don't want to miss it. And plus, it's our annual, or not annual, our monthly Money Monday, because it is the first Monday of the month. And so we have a lot to talk about today with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, and a lot of things to go through here. And again, we do this on most Mondays of the month. We do a little update at the end of the show in the last segment, but the first Monday of the month, we do a full Money Monday. And Jesus talked a lot about money and possessions. It's all over the Old and the New Testament. And because the Word talks about it a lot, we include it regularly here on the show. So it's always great to have our buddy David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is their website. David, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, except for it's 106 degrees here in Phoenix, and I'm on the beach also, Steve, but the tide's out way far. It's called the desert, so I wish I was where you were at.
Yeah, it's only like 86 here, so that's a pretty big difference. 106, but yeah, but it's a dry heat there, right, David? It's a dry heat.
5% humidity, zero precipitation. It is a dry heat, but you know, it's still hot. It's of course, the worst is yet to come. As we all know, Phoenix gets triple digits normally for about 6 to 8 weeks, and we haven't hit the teens yet. So, but it's coming.
I mean, I'm losing you a little bit. I increase our capability here on the setup and see if we can't get a better signal here for you as we're talking through this stuff today. And you know, it's always a little dicey when you're kind of on the road and you're doing things remotely, so I have to be careful with that. That's not always a great idea. But David, are you still with me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Steve.
I'm going to put David on hold here. Okay, all right, you're back. Sorry about that. So I wanted to make sure we mentioned today that a huge Supreme Court decision which came in this morning about the baker out in Colorado. That was a great win for religious freedom. And then let's be praying for people in Guatemala because they had that huge volcano yesterday. The death toll jumped up to over 60 now, so we're going to keep an eye on that. I'll be talking about that tomorrow on the show, but today we're just going to focus on some really important topics with David Fisher here again on a Money Monday. And interestingly enough, David, it's 500 days in office for President Trump. So from your perspective, how would you rate his presidency?
Well, I think we've had a lot of benefits under his leadership. You know, some of the things that he's campaigned upon, he has actually done. So that's just one remarkable note in and of itself of a president. But, you know, he said he's going to grow the economy. Look at what stocks did last year. The economy is growing again this year, although the market is not performing like it did last year. The economy is growing. And that's due to mostly the tax cuts, which he said he was going to do. Last week, unemployment numbers came at historical low numbers, 3.8%. That's the lowest, Steve, since 1956. And the job solid job gains came in at 223,000 jobs created when economists only expected 188,000 from non-farm payrolls. So those are some of the great things. Not everything President Trump has campaigned upon or is doing is working. I mean, the tariffs are causing all kinds of havoc. And, you know, he talked about in his campaign the debt of our country, shrinking it, and it's done just the opposite as ballooned. So I'm not too high on his scores with tariffs and trade agreements and the debt of our country, but everything else I think he scores pretty high on.
Because it's interesting that we're considering the Trump presidency and there's some great things going on. The market's up right now, and the job numbers were good, as you mentioned. But the debt is ballooning, so it's really this kind of strange mixed bag that I'm always wondering what is reality here. When one side of the financial world is, wow, look at the U.S. economy, and the other side, our debt just continues to balloon. So give us some advice there on how do we look at these things accurately and appropriately.
Well, let's first of all talk about the tariffs here. There's not an economist out there that I know of, and I've studied quite a bit, that don't believe that the administration disrupting trade is going to end up beneficial factor for the economy. So this does affect the economy. In fact, yesterday, 45 economists came out from the NABE, National Association of Business Economics, today, and believe that in 2020 we're going to have a recession. The likelihood of that is very high. So it's safe to say that the majority believe, whether in economics or the media, that they really don't believe that President Trump in his trade is doing the right thing. And tariffs really historically just lead to higher prices, which is interpreted as inflationary. And this is passed off on the consumer. Put it into perspective, just the pork industry this year so far has lost $560 million since the tariffs have been put in place. And the steel per pound has jumped from January to at 38 cents a pound to April at 68 cents. That's a 45% jump. So nothing's changed in the steel industry, you know, as far as manufacturing or shortages to cause a 45% spike. It's all tariffs. So just understand higher costs are coming. And if you're going to buy something out in the future, don't pay interest through credit card spending. Pay for cash.
Yeah, and you've mentioned tariffs several times, and then when we come back from the break, I want to talk about the Volcker Rule because you brought that up last week. But when we hear tariffs, I know there's a populist message there, there's a Protect America message there, but generally, how should we react as not just consumers but as investors when we hear the word tariffs coming up in the news?
Well, historically, tariffs have caused, when they're talked about in the news or President Trump tweets about it or this banter back and forth, has caused market volatility. You got to look past that and expect the long hold for this or just not be involved in a volatile market.
Yeah. Nope. Hold on just a second, David. We're up against the break. This is Steve Noble. It is Money Monday here on the Steve Noble Show with our good friend David. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show live today from the coast of Carolina out here for a couple days with some friends and wanted to make sure we took advantage of technology. We do have a little bit of a delay because I'm wireless today using my broadcast unit. So just bear with us. It shouldn't be too bad. If you just stick with it, there'll be a little bit of a delay between David and I. But we're talking to David Fisher, our good friend from Landmark Capital, talking about some really important topics today as we consider we're 500 days into President Trump's presidency, and we've got a lot of important things to talk about. Again, landmarkgold.com is the website, and talking to our good friend David Fisher. It is Money Monday, which we do a full show on these complex and important financial issues at the beginning, the first Monday of every month, and then we do a little update after that. But we were talking about tariffs and what was going on as we look at 500 days in office from a financial perspective, and talking about just kind of measuring ourselves as we hear the word tariffs and see it out there and don't get all caught up in the populist message, which is easy, or even the pro-America message. These things are very complex, and you need to study and to pay attention to it because there's usually some ebb and flow going on there. But last week, David, you talked about something called the Volcker Rule, the V-O-L-C-K-E-R being revamped and would cause another 2007, which obviously should scare the tar out of all of us. So please explain to us again what the Volcker Rule is and why it matters.
Very important rule. Let's take a walk down memory lane. We had a 1929 crash. Why? Because in the 20s, the roaring 20s, a lot of money was being made through leveraged money and credit being issued at cheap levels. And so when leverage money came due and people got, the markets got scared when there was a downturn and banks called in loans, that's what triggered the 1929 crash. It was a multiple day crash. And people got really concerned. It went into a depression. So 4 years later, in 1933, they created a rule called the Glass-Steagall Rule, which relates to the Volcker Rule. The Glass-Steagall Rule said that you cannot have banks leverage money, and they can't use your money on deposit in the stock market anymore. So that's why we had stability, no market major crashes, really, until 2007. Well, we had a minor one in 1987. In 1999, they lifted this Glass-Steagall rule. President Clinton, under his leadership, so this gave the green light to banks to leverage money. And they did it, called derivatives. That is what brought Wall Street down, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns. That is what the trigger point was, by leveraging money. Same thing that caused 1929. So in the aftermath, the pendulum swung the other direction again. They created a Volcker Rule, and they implemented it. Basically, it was saying in one paragraph, 4 years after 2007, that regulators cannot, financial institutions cannot leverage depositors' money, and they can't leverage money in the market anymore like they did prior to 2007. So we have had pretty much market stability, although we had a 10% correction this year. And we're long overdue from a major correction, and we haven't had one because we've had things in place. Now they want to lift that Volcker Rule. The Fed wants to do it. President Trump wants to do it. Many banks want it done. But there will be a benefit to this if this what goes into effect. Banks will be able to lend out more money. We'll see a stimulation of the economy, which is, I think, why you're seeing the NASDAQ, the equity markets, up today, and the Dow. But the detrimental effect will be huge. We'll see the same behavior that banks did before 2007 that caused 2007. Now they have the green light to do it again.
So why would the president, the banking industry, knowing that they're kind of putting us back out over a precipice and we got burned from that before, why would they charge headlong down this road again when history proves how dangerous it is?
Well, banks make more money by leveraging money through the derivative markets than they do by making loans. And banks were required to have huge amounts of money on cash deposits of their own money, not their clients' money, your and my money in the banks, but their own money, the bank's money. And so now they can use that money, they can shrink the amount that they have on account as a buffer just in case. There's other laws that are going and revamping a portion of the Dodd-Frank Act, which says that if this goes into effect, and it just passed the Senate last week, the president has signed it yet, but they will take away living wills, how a bank unravels when they get into financial turmoil. They're going to take away a stress test to see the healthiness of the bank, and they're taking away bank-required deposits to ensure the bank has capitalization in case of market turmoil. So we're moving the opposite direction, but it's going to stimulate the economy because the injection of cash will create a green light for banks to lend out money. But the problem is, it also, the flip side, it's we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It creates a whole bunch of market risk in an environment that we just came out of a decade ago that completely shatters people's financial dreams at some point in some levels of people. So it's very detrimental. And Jamie Dimon, to put it into perspective, he's the CEO of J.P. Morgan, he said it's not a matter of if we have a recession, we will. It's 100%, he said last month, we will have a recession. So when this thing comes, we don't want to have leveraged money out there, but this gives the green light for it.
So are these guys just, is this just the Trump administration, Republicans in general perhaps, just trying to prop themselves up by creating a run on the financial world that looks good, while at the same time you probably have special interests in there? And then once again, to me, it looks like, you know, the little regular guy out here, people like me, people like you, David, are left kind of dangling out over the shark tank while they're trying to prop themselves and make themselves look good politically, or am I being too cynical?
I don't think you're being cynical, because that's been the behavior in the past of whoever the president, its party is, the Congress follows that direction. This is a little bit opposite of that. but there's some truisms in it. This support is bipartisanism, ironically. In fact, the bill that was passed by the Senate, about a third Democrats voted for it to take away bank regulations, and there was a handful of Republicans that opposed it. So, but it was across the aisle, which, you know, shows me, hey, great, Congress is working together, but, you know, this is, it's going to show some benefit, but the detriment, I personally think that you can separate, and this is where pork on bills is detrimental, separate the banking guidelines of allowing them to lend money, but still require them to have money on accounts, and still require them to report and do the right thing, because doing the right thing is always the right thing to do, whether you're a bank, a gold company, a Christian, a believer, a man or woman of God, whatever it is, and we're all those, we got to do the right thing. And this is completely throwing good with bad. It's going to turn out to be bad.
Yeah, and it's just so disheartening to see this happening, regardless of who's in office and which party, political party is really in charge in Congress. We don't have much time before the break, but let's kick off this next segment. And we've talked about debt under Bush, 43, when it started to raise. And then, of course, Obama's 8 years, it doubled. And then, but we're going to take a position and talk about this, David. Why do you think our debt's more critical now under Trump than it was even under Obama and under Bush? We're going to talk about that with David Fisher when we come back on today's Money Monday. And then we're also going to talk about kind of some misunderstandings of gold. That's the industry, the specific industry that David's been in for over 20 years now. Some misunderstandings about gold. How do you use it? Why do you use it? Precious metals in general. We'll talk about that. But we'll talk about debt and rising debt under Trump when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. The website, as always, thestevenobleshow.com. The podcast is there. And then we've got a bunch of other information there, including some ways that you can help support the ministry. And also, No Sacred Cows t-shirts, a copy of my book, which is called No Sacred Cows, which is really kind of my personal story and how I came to faith. And then this wild ride that God has had, not only me, but my family on since about 2001, with a really intense 9/11 story, and then how God started the original part of this ministry, Call to Action, which was Christian grassroots activism. And then it grew a few years later and started on radio on Saturdays in November 2007, and then went daily in 2011, and syndication started a couple years ago. And now, by God's grace, that we're on in 14 different states now, 24, I think, different markets. We've got some more growth potential coming up later this summer, and God's just been gracious in using the show and using these conversations and these topics. And so that's available on the website, too. And then we just launched Foundations of Freedom. That is the 18-chapter civics and constitution course that I've been teaching in Raleigh, North Carolina, for the last 6 years to high school age homeschoolers. But it is content and lessons really from all the way the founding of the nation, all the way back, starting in the Reformation, bringing the Puritans and the Pilgrims across the ocean to this great land, and how they were educated, how our founding fathers were educated, First Great Awakening, all of that before we ever get to the Constitution, and then the Constitution itself, and then civics in general, the application of the Constitution into all these different areas of our lives, the different branches, the amendments, the whole process, the electoral process itself. Really, really important information that most Americans, including, unfortunately, a lot of us adults, are weak on. So that's also on our page now, available at thestevenobleshow.com. And we're really going to be working on that, especially to high school age students and homeschool students. Did you know that only 10 of our 50 states, only 10, require civics education at the high school level? And you want to know what that's cost us, that kind of ignorance? Just take a look around. And one of the things that we're talking about today with David Fisher on a Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital and LandmarkGold.com is the out-of-control debt of our country and of our federal government. And it's just crippling us and crippling our future. But most people don't understand it or how we got into this position. But there's a very clear path that we took and that we chose to come here. And when 50% of Christians don't even bother to register and vote, you essentially kind of get what you don't pay for. And that's what's happened. So we're talking to David Fisher again today on a Money Monday. And just set that up before the break, David, that, you know, you're thinking that our debt is even more critical now than under previous presidents, which seems like a pretty wild statement. But why are you taking that position? Because this is such an important topic.
Well, it's not just because it's grown. Like under Bush, it was $5.8 trillion, Obama $8.6 trillion. This is how much they increased the debt under their leadership. And Trump, he stays in office for 8 years, it'll be $8.3 trillion is what's projected. It's not because they're spending a lot, although that contributes to it. There's other factors. The government's debt is rising faster than the economy, to the tune of 36%. So we're not getting our way out of debt. There's no light at the end of the tunnel, except for the lights being a train wreck. But there's also, when we go into debt, we create treasuries. And right now, the treasuries are ballooning. To put it into perspective, and I might have mentioned this fact before, last 2016, the Treasury created $560 billion to subsidize our government spending. In 2017, it was $666 billion. And in January this year, they're saying we need to create $955 billion this year. But then they revised the number on February 2nd to $1.16 trillion. But the first quarter after the Treasury issued treasuries for the first quarter, it was $488 billion. Amortize that over a year, that's $1.95 trillion. So put in perspective, if we head this direction at the same speed, we're going to be at $1.95 trillion when just 2 years ago we were at $666 billion. So we've tripled the amount of Treasury bills. That's something that's never unheard of. The other thing is the Fed's raising rates, so the cost of servicing the debt is going up. It's not becoming cheaper. It's a full 1% higher than it was when the Fed started raising rates, and we're going to go 2 points higher in the next 2.5, 3 years. So it's going to cost more to service our debt. But on top of that, and here's the kicker, the Fed is selling treasuries, our debt, our own central bank. So all these things that I'm sharing has never converged at the same time. This is why many who have nothing to do with gold are saying we're going to have a financial challenge in 2020.
And that's why, you know, I mention this on the air regularly, it seems like lately, David, almost daily, that when it comes to commentary about this president or any other president or the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, for us as Christians, God calls us to have a prophetic voice, which means we speak truth to power no matter who's in power. And I like to say on the air, my axe head has two ends and both ends are sharp. And I swing it, I try to swing it as hard to the right as I do to the left, and the vigor and the microscope that we rightfully so put Obama under when he was the president, we need to be willing, intellectually honest, and prophetically empowered by the Holy Spirit, we need to be willing to apply the exact same weights and measures to this president. And on this particular front, this president and this Congress are no better than we had before. Is that too much of a radical statement?
No, you're not radical at all. You're spot on, Steve. You hit the nail on the head. You know, this is not a Democratic problem, a Republican problem. This is not a Christian or a non-Christian problem, although it does affect many of those entities that I just listed. This is not just an American problem. It's a global problem. Global debt is the highest it's ever been. This is a human nature, the sign of the fall of man problem, because consumer debt right now is $4 trillion. When you add, according to LendingTree, credit card debt at $1 trillion, car loans at $1 trillion, student loans now have surpassed $1 trillion, and personal loans are at $1 trillion. I'm not even talking in mortgages yet. So, I mean, this is just insane, and interest rates are going up. We're not going to be able to manage this debt. It's going to trigger a massive problem.
Yeah, and so that kind of leads us to our last topic for today, and we'll talk about it for this the rest of this segment and for the final segment. And this is one of those things, David, and I've told this story before, but we have a lot of newer friends on the show now, as we've God has allowed us to expand with Wilkins Radio into several new markets. So, you know, when I first met David, when I syndicated, I was with another company doing the syndication, and David was doing a lot of national radio. I've been a Glenn Beck listener, a Sean Hannity listener, a Rush Limbaugh listener, but on Glenn Beck, you know, with all this stuff about gold and this, that, and the other thing, and all these websites, I was, I think rightfully so, very cynical and a little concerned about it, and wanting, and you know, they wanted me to do some radio with David. So David and I began a friendship. The first thing that made a huge difference for me in talking to David was the fact that he's my brother in Christ. He served as a youth pastor. He's been walking with the Lord for a long time, but I needed to be educated about these things so that I knew truth and facts from lies and truth from paranoia. And David was kind enough to spend literally hours with me explaining all this. And then we started doing radio together. That was 2 years ago. And here we are continuing to talk about this. So let's just go over. This was some of the things I struggle with myself. And Noble family, just so you guys know, I mean, we have gold as part of our holdings as kind of a hedge against the craziness that's in this world. So I'm not talking about something that I have no stake in myself in terms of understanding it, learning, and then acting on it. So some of these things, these misunderstandings of gold, gold is like, well, I get some gold in my possession, or it's in my portfolio, but how do I spend it? You know, people think of it, if it all comes crashing down, all of a sudden I'm going off to the supermarket with gold. How do we kind of approach that in terms of people looking at it as something that we take to market?
Well, first of all, Steve, in our personal conversations and in our conversations on your show, you've never heard me say the dollar is going to crash. In fact, I talk against it. I say we're going to have a dollar going lower. We have a debt problem. But this thing is not as Chicken Little. The sky is falling, unlike most of my competitors.
Yeah,
therefore, you're not going to take your gold nor your silver to the grocery store and use that instead of paper money or a credit card or a debit card or what normal grocery stores or normally how you pay your electric bill. You're not going to have to go drive down there and hand them an ounce of silver or anything like that or an ounce of gold. Just like you wouldn't take your stock portfolio down to the grocery store and buy stocks or buy groceries with stock certificates. You're going to convert those assets into money, and money is what is going to be the thing that people use to buy goods and services. Gold is not money, contrary to what I hear all the time. Try using gold at the grocery store. It's not money. The teller will look at you like, what? Or the checker will look at you, what?
Right.
Your banker at the teller will look at you, what? I want to deposit this gold coin in my bank account. It's worth $1,300. Though it's not money. It's a hedge against money. So, but people can learn more about this in depth if they want to call my company. But that's the nuts and bolts of it.
And so a lot of people look at it, you know, and there's a lot of investments that we have, the Noble family has, for example, that pay dividends. You get some return. They show, you know, we tend to reinvest those ourselves. But people sit there and say, well, it doesn't really pay a dividend. So does it really have a performance measure like that?
Well, I have stocks myself, too. And it's also nice to have stocks that pay dividends out there. Gold does not need to pay a dividend. It's not designed for that. It's a hedge against stocks. That's why Scripture says a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. But if you look at stocks by index and gold by index, the comparison, stocks have gone up about 180% since year 2000, and gold has gone up over 300%. So it doesn't need to pay a dividend. It stands on its own two legs. And on the flip side of this, gold has actually should be down about $100, $150 with the dollar going up as much as it has recently.
Right.
So gold's doing what it should be doing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that and a couple issues with gold and investing and general investment advice as we're talking to David Fisher on today's Money Monday here on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can grab the podcast. You can get the podcast on iTunes, all these other different podcast platforms out there. That's kind of all over the place. And so that's always available, whether you can join us live or not. Most days, actually, we do Facebook Live. I started the show doing that today, but I'm on location on a well, this is going to sound terrible, on a beach in North Carolina. We're out here for a couple of days seeing some friends, and I'll be back in the studio tomorrow and Wednesday, and then I'll be live from AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play in Dallas on Thursday, actually. I'll do the show there inside the stadium in a radio booth. So that'll be a pretty wild Facebook Live to be a part of. So that'll be Thursday and Friday as I'm there for Harvest America, which is on Sunday with Pastor Greg Gloria, live evangelistic outreach and crusade nationwide and in fact around the world. And I'll be doing radio from there on Sunday. But harvestamerica.com is that website. And always talking to our good friend David Fisher. We were there in Phoenix where David lives at the Cardinals Stadium this time last year, and we're able to go to a crusade together, which was awesome. And David is not only a great expert that joins us on the air and helps us with these complex issues, but he's my brother in the Lord. And that was really cool to be able to do a crusade with you last year there in Phoenix, David.
Loved that, especially when they sang the song I Can Only Imagine. And I remember, as a worship leader, doing that song. Of course, I didn't do it anything like they did. They got the voice for it. But, yeah, brought back a lot of memories of the years I led worship. in so many different places, and it was just awesome mostly to be with you, Steve.
Yeah, it was great, and I appreciate that and the time getting to know you and your wife. And actually, I went over and had lunch with his whole team at Landmark, which was great. And one of the things that you do that's so helpful for all of us, David, is newsletters and putting out information that we can access. So I know you've got some new newsletters out there and some information like that. So share with us that, and then we'll dive back into our conversation and pick it up where we left off.
We got a newsletter fresh off the press that goes more in depth about the market volatility, which is what we've been experiencing for the last few months with the Fed unraveling the balance sheet or selling treasuries, but also comments in depth on the Volcker rule, so much more than what we're able to talk about today. So that's and everything's free. We believe in education, and we're not going to hound you. We're here to help you. The other thing we have is a white paper called Time is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate, which talks about there's different bubbles, a lot of different debt bubbles and credit bubbles happening, and a few other bubbles out there. It only took one bubble to burst that caused another one to burst in 2007, and it changed the financial landscape. So we're seeing some repeating of those bubbles, and this gets people up to speed in understanding it through education.
Yeah, and these are such massive issues and alarming issues, and any of us that were investors in 2007 and 8, I mean, even in my business went down about 35% in 2008, and I was like, you know, what in the world's going on? It was just a massive hit for all of us, and in order to get that kind of information, how can people access that, David?
Well, they can call our company the old-fashioned way at 844-879-8882. Or they can go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
Excellent. Thank you. And we were talking about kind of some misconceptions and misunderstanding. Here's an interesting one. We've never talked about this before, and I forgot that this was in the book of Ezekiel, which, you know, if you proof text or if you take things out of context in the Bible, you can run down all kinds of wild roads. We've seen that going on for years. Ever since we got our hands on the Bible, we've been doing that. But kind of in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel refers to throwing their silver into the streets and gold not delivering them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Should we look at that seriously at all in terms of investment advice?
Well, you'd be surprised, Steve. I've talked to, in 25 years of doing this, I've talked to thousands of Christians, and a big portion of them have said, you know, I want to be very transparent with the Lord, and I want to be very obedient to the Lord, and I just don't see where Scripture says I should own any gold. It's telling me actually it's going to be thrown in the street, that and silver, so I'm trying to get my arms around it. And so what I've shared with them in the past is, and is the same today as truth, is you have to look at what our currency, gold and silver was our currency back then. Today, gold and silver is not our currency. So the Bible couldn't write by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what they didn't write. They could have, but they didn't. Say, you're going to have Federal Reserve notes, pieces of paper that are going to be thrown into the street. So it's referring to our money is what it's referring to. And it's referring to that money as far as the gold side, making it like you're a godly idol, because that's what the golden calf was made out of, and there's a lot of temple worship involving gold. So, in other words, silver or gold is not going to be something that you're going to throw into the street, but paper money might be if the Scripture comes to fruition and comes to be fulfilled. But it also might be, you know, our trust is not, like Chuck Swindoll said in one of the commercials before the break, you know, it's our trust is not in our money. Our trust is in the Lord. But we still use money, I'll say that, and we have to be good stewards of it. That's why we have investments and retirements.
Yeah, and it's awesome to think, and I love to ponder heaven, and eventually when heaven comes to earth, that one day this show won't be needed, David's expertise won't be needed, and the stuff that we covet and need and use wisely today, we'll just pave streets with it when that day comes.
Absolutely.
And I just praise the Lord for that we do not, we live in the here and the now, we long for the there and the then, and that's just the tension we have to experience as Christians. And you know, should the Lord tarry, it brings me home, whichever comes first, but I just praise him for that and the ultimate reality of that for all of us if we're going to name the name of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about the actual purposes of gold and silver and why the believer is smart to consider it and to look at that in terms of diversifying portfolios for investment perspective.
Well, Scripture says a few things about this. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. Not only is that scripturally from a biblical point of view, but it's also a financial point of view. Don't have all your eggs in one basket. That's being unhealthy balanced. a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. And I don't know the future, although I made a lot of predictions that have come to pass here in the last few years. I don't know the future, but what I do know is history has proven that if you have a well-diversified, properly asset-allocated portfolio, which involves having some funds in precious metals, you will be better off historically than the person that has no precious metals in their portfolio. Just looking at the last time when 2007 hit, in 2008, stocks as a result of 2000 went down 45% pretty much across the board, and it took about 6 years, 7 years to break even, some 5 years. Gold went up 50% that year in 2008 and a multi-year run and doubled in 2.5 years. Real estate came down about the same as stocks, and in some cases here in Phoenix, the property values still haven't recovered since 2007. Cash became king, and that was the thing that supported people in case they lost their job, something to fall back on. So it's very important to have some cash, some real estate, some stocks, and most importantly, to have some gold is your financial insurance that diversifies the portfolio out of paper.
Again, and I'm such a visual thinker that, and a simple thinker most of the time. I always kind of envision when we talk about this, David. I always kind of envision that teeter totter from when we were kids, and one kid on one end, and if he jumps off, you fall down flat on your behind, and that's not a lot of fun because your teeter totter is out of balance, out of whack, and that's what can happen. You know, most of us remember that from 2008 and a little bit back in '97, as you mentioned earlier in the show, that you got to have some balance, you got to have some weight on both ends. To be a wise investor. And you mentioned some things that you talked about before. I just want to remind folks about three of them that we've talked about on this show before. And David was kind enough to kind of help us down this in early January 27 when we were still on the when we were on the show then. David said we'd have a bull market in both stocks and gold, which is really interesting. And gold went up 13% that year and the Dow went up 26%. Early this year, January 2018, David said this year's market will be totally different. Stock indexes are also, and also gold will move up only single digits this year. That's exactly where we're at right now. And one more early this year in January, David said we'd have a stock market correction of 10% and possibly more. And of course, we know, I think we all remember the Dow corrected from its high in the last week of January by 10%. And this isn't, hey, you're not tossing lots there in your office and you're not looking into some magic ball, David. This is just 2 decades plus of experience and wisdom and applying that to the conditions today. There's nothing magical about it, but you got to be willing to look at everything and consider all those issues. Is that accurate?
That's completely accurate. And I'm seeing a new trend here, Steve. In fact, the news came out today out of Forbes magazine. There was a smart money conference from the largest, most famous asset managers in the world. And they hosted a conference in New York 2 months ago. Some of the big names, bond kings like Jeffrey Gundlach, David Rosenberg, Louis Gave, and others. And as you can imagine, these speakers usually, historically, Steve, they don't talk much about gold, and they're more concerned with stock funds, bond funds, and those such alike. But this year, it was completely different. This is an annual smart money conference, and we've never seen as many so high-profile investors mention gold now as a safety net, which were including some of the very hardcore previously gold bears out there. Now they're turning bull. So they're all saying the same type of things I've been saying, and they're saying we're going to have a big movement in gold. In fact, Jeffrey Gundlach, and he's not a gold bug, Jeffrey Gundlach, he's the CEO of Double Line Capital, he says he's providing more technical forecast for gold. Given the situation in markets, he thinks it's only a matter of time that the gold price will break out. We're in a juncture. Now we are going to see a massive building base in gold, and he's predicting that he's going to see gold as spiking. It's a no-brainer. It's a great time to be buying gold because one way or the other, this baby's got to break out real big, end quote.
Yeah. Wow, that's a pretty massive statement coming from somebody like that. Quick reminder as we finish up, David, the white papers, the information, the education that you mentioned earlier.
It's called Time Is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate, and also our newsletter. They can get that by either going to landmarkgold.com or they can call our office the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882.
Excellent. Thank you, brother, as always, for the great information. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you again next week.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Okay, friends, we'll be back in the studio tomorrow. We're going to be unpacking this monumentous decision today out of the Supreme Court about the baker in Colorado. Won that case. because he refused to bake a cake for a gay wedding. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.